This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Me up for a football game that, like, listening to Purple Rain from Prince. The reason this comes up, apparently I didn't know this, but luckily I've got Washington's biggest fan, Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th. CSU's going to Washington this weekend, and I saw Matt Mummy, the quarterback's coach and the pass game coordinator, whatever they call. He's got a great title. He's got a lot of titles. But he posted on X, because we follow each other, and I consider us friends. And he tweeted out that, playing Prince. A lot of players didn't know, couldn't believe it, but a lot of players didn't know who this was. Whatever. So I saw it, didn't think anything of it. I thought it was just like a mixed day. They all get to pick different songs they want. So I go out to practice today, and as soon as I get out of the car, it's the same song Matt Mummy was talking about around the same time that he tweeted about, or I guess he tweeted about later that night. It was Purple Rain playing again. And I just assumed, now I'm not, again, a diehard Washington fan, but I'm guessing Purple Rain and Prince has a tie-in with your Washington, yes, Washington Huskies.
Well, Washington, the last few years, they've been, at least that I've noticed, they've been calling themselves Purple Rain. I'm wondering if that's the fan base because, you know, obviously they have purple uniforms and they are in the rain because it rains a lot in Seattle. So they're calling themselves Purple Rain now. I think the song is kind of lame, and like you, Brady, not really a big fan of Prince.
Never have been.
I mean, he's an excellent guitarist.
Yeah.
People don't give him credit for that, but
no.
He's a really good guitarist. I just think, like, well, it's kind of a lame song.
Tom Morello is my favorite, one of my favorite guitarists of all time.
He's a great guitarist.
He went and did an album, and I'm like, stick to guitaring. Not singing. Not good.
So you should listen to his song with Baby Metal. It's pretty awesome.
Right, quit. But, Purple Rain. So they're blaring this out as I'm pulling in. And then they're blaring a bunch of different, you know, just loud crowd noise. One of the guys out there at CSU was talking to us about how steep. Have you been there before, Mike? Have you ever been to a Washington game?
I've been to Washington CU.
But it was here? It was in Boulder?
Yeah, it was in Boulder.
Well, talk about their stadium, how steep it is, and how the something about how when the crowd gets going and the music and all that stuff, it just makes it extra loud. Almost like in basketball terms, like New Mexico's the pit. Is that right? Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, it's one of the loudest stadiums. It's considered one of the hardest stadiums to playing. It's tough to win in Eugene, tough to win in the Horseshoe, like Michigan and Ohio State. Really tough places
so
to win in.
You and I downplayed.
The swamp as well.
Well, we downplayed this. Not really downplayed. I think you feel like Washington's going to actually smoke them.
I mean, but Washington's put in their second team. It's now 68 because they kick a field goal, but it's 68-63.
But we both agree that this is nothing compared to the Rams' first test last year, which was Texas. Washington's not there. Maybe 2 years ago, but it's amazing how sometimes teams like Washington, They can dip. They can fall. Was it 2 years ago? Was it 2 or 3 years ago? They were playing Michigan in the national championship, which
yes.
Shouldn't they be the actual national champions? Because Michigan cheated.
I think, yes, they should, even though they cheated. I don't like the taking away of games.
But Washington is more like a – they can be good for a year, then they might be mediocre for 5-7 years, and then they can be good. Is that kind of how it goes for them?
Since the 90s, it's kind of been like that. But if you look history all time, they're like number 25 in the win column. And I think Michigan is still number one, and Alabama's moved up like number three. But Michigan's in a solid number one as far as all-time wins. Washington has lost it over the years because they had some dark years.
Because they were kind of rough before they... before the Michael Penix Jr. stuff, and then after.
Well, they were good for they had that one bad year when their defensive coordinator took over, and it just like great defensive coordinator, just ferocious defense, and then just bad head coach.
So why is it so? It's so loud there. It's such a tough place to play. Is it the fan base is just so diehard, they sell out like crazy, or is it how the stadium is constructed, it just makes it so loud?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think it's kind of like the Seahawks stadium, like you have avid fans, plus it's, you know, I forget what that stadium is called, Quantumanium Field or something, where it's built to be loud. Plus, they also pump crowd noise in, but you know they haven't gotten in trouble for it because they haven't been caught yet. Like Indianapolis was 15 years ago, and the Chiefs do the same thing where they pump crowd noise into.
They probably
they
all do.
Caught. Well, not the Broncos. We don't. We're legitimately.
It was just interesting out there today, hearing because it was loud. That was the loudest I remember just sitting around a practice, because once the Purple Rain song went away, because that wasn't during practice, that was just before. Because did they come out to that? Or
yeah, I've seen them come
it's
out.
It's weird to come out. It's not a pump-up song. It's not. I'm
no,
sorry.
It's not,
it's not a song you pump up to.
You know what they need to do is they need to have the band out there, and every time Washington has like a 2-yard run or a first down, just, you know, have the band play dun 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 dun, because that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
The bow down to Washington. It's kind of like their version of Florida State.
Yeah.
Where they play that all the time, like, oh, he got 2 yards, let's play it.
Yeah, that's annoying when they overdo it.
Yeah.
I don't like.
Yeah. There are a few I like,
but you need them. You need those kind of traditions. You need first down traditions.
I like that one. Like USC's is good because their drum corps is freaking. I'll admit it, even though I hate USC, their drum corps is amazing.
I used to not be into, and I don't know where I still fit. Like I enjoy it, but I'm not like you. Like I never, when I was growing up, all the band stuff, I didn't like it.
I love it.
I didn't care for it. I was like, just give me to the football. I don't need to see the band, but I do kind of like it now.
I've always loved.
I kind of like it. I'm still more of a professional sports guy overall. But there are parts of me that are starting to come around over the last 10 years or so.
UNC has one of the best fight songs of all time. People don't know it, but they do.
The Bears?
The Bears. Not as good as Notre Dame. Notre Dame has the best one. I you cannot deny it is the best one. Michigan has a really good one. USC is really good. Texas has a really good one. Washington, somewhere in the middle. And I'm trying to be as objective as possible. Washington is somewhere in the middle. And
people
CU
don't
is just garbage. And I don't even know what CSU is.
I think
has.
They all sound the same.
That can they use that metal song as their fight?
Yeah,
song?
We should play that awesome. Sometime today, because that's great. Actually,
awesome.
We're working with those guys. We might have some ideas coming up.
Oh yeah, I like. I don't know them, but I like them because I like that version.
I think most of the fight songs just sound the same.
A lot of them. A lot
I think
of
they
them
all
do.
Just sound the same. There's 4 million of them. There's 4 million. How many?
Yeah.
How many colleges are in the country that have sports teams? There's just so many.
Ames
there's so
have
many
a sports team. They probably have.
They probably they're the aren't they the Armadillos or something
yeah,
like
the
that?
Aardvarks.
Or the Aardvarks.
I can say we because I graduated from Ames Community College in 2003.
Congratulations. I don't think a lot of people thought you went to any kind of school. Hashtag Lorado Whiskey poll question of the day. Did Shedeur Sanders get an unfair shot so far with the Browns? And 25% saying yes, 75% saying no. What do you make of that? This is going the way that I thought it needed to go.
He got a fair shot.
Well, he didn't get the same players around him that Dylan Gabriel got.
How the preseason goes. Yes, he started 2 weeks ago. Yeah, because like, Gabriel didn't play.
Yeah. Like, weren't,
and they got
like,
rid of Pickett.
Players hurt.
They got rid of Pickett.
Like, I'm sorry. I've seen... Who was that CSU quarterback that everybody fell in love
with? Bradley Van Pelt.
Like, you could say the same thing about him. Well, he didn't get a fair shot. Well, yeah, because he wasn't that good. He wasn't going to make the team.
Most quarterbacks that are drafted in later rounds, and I'm talking later than the third round, are going to get... what you would some would deem as an unfair shot, but they're lucky to get drafted at all.
I mean,
so
Tom Brady, was he sixth round?
He was a sixth round guy.
I mean, you could say he was probably given a more fair shot because Bill Belichick was like, oh, wow, maybe this guy's body isn't great, but he has a brain on
him. Eastside Chris says, pump up song Dracula by Zombie.
Oh, there you go.
Big Hub says, I almost beat Washington on the video game, so CSU should win. But don't talk down on Prince's Purple Rain song. I'm just not a Prince
purple
guy.
Rain.
Big Hub says, Shadur is third string, so everyone should shut up. Yeah, his fans should shut up. But now they're like, Kevin Stefanski set him up for failure. Dude, Kevin Stefanski is coaching for his job. He is not going to screw around with politics and whatever you think he's doing. He is... If this fails, if Joe Flacco is not going to give him his best shot to win, then Dylan Gabriel, bye-bye. You lose one of 32. There's only 32 of these jobs. You seriously think that he's making a statement about Coach Prime and Shedeur Sanders by not playing him or not giving him opportunities? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and that is why it's not Shedeur necessarily, it's not Coach Prime necessarily, it's his ridiculous fan base that is just a thorn in the side of everyone, and it's why people want to stay away from him. You fans of Shedeur Sanders and Coach Prime are ruining his reputation. You are the reason they're annoying. You are the reason people get fed up with Coach Prime and Shedeur Sanders. Because I can give a take on anybody else in the league, and it's going to get met with some stuff, but not like this. If I say anything negative about Coach Prime or Shedeur Sanders, it's racist. You're holding the black man down. You just are jealous. You couldn't do it. Blah, 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 blah. Go over and over and over and over again. That doesn't apply to anybody else in the world except for the Sanders family for some freaking reason. And I'm sick of it. Not necessarily Shedeur. The fans, you guys are idiots. I said it. You're idiots.
Brady, who's your favorite quarterback in the NFL who's not a Bronco?
Lamar Jackson, the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment.
You damn racist, Brady.
Right. I don't understand. So I can get on X and say, Lamar Jackson is the best. I did a whole minute about him as soon as he lost. I'm arguably obsessed with Lamar Jackson. But yet I say, I don't like the boombox thing for Shedeur. Oh, you're just trying to hold a black man down. I want Lamar Jackson to win the Super Bowl. If the Broncos aren't going to, I want every Super Bowl to go to Lamar Jackson and the MVPs. It just drives me freaking nuts, and I'm finally just losing my mind because now the Sanders fan worship, obsession, whatever the hell it is, because you don't have lives of your own, you are now in Cleveland. I mean, we're going to move on. We got another segment coming up. We're going to talk CSU Washington. We're going to talk Nuggets stuff today, actually. There's a guy, maybe, that the Nuggets have their eyes on. But Sanders fans, all they do is stare at their social media feed night after night, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, and second after second, looking for anybody to say something negative about Prime, about Shedeur, about Shiloh, who just got cut. And they will go at you. I don't like that Shiloh threw a punch. Well, that's a little racist of you because the guy he was going at was a white guy. What? Like, I don't know what that means. Seriously, go read some of this junk. It will make your eyes bleed how they are obsessed with him and how any kind of negative thought on him is considered the most evil thing you could ever do.
And they don't understand, like, football. I've watched
because
some analysis.
They want to talk. They want to make it bigger than it is. They want to make it something about their agenda when most of us, you and I, are too stupid to go much deeper than that. That's why I always joke. I'm like, I'm not going political. I'm not going into racism. I'm going into football. I think Shedeur Sanders is a good quarterback, but his fan base makes me feel the same way I felt about Tim Tebow. I find myself somewhat inside going, kind of hope he doesn't succeed because then his fans are going to be freaking nuts. But then as the player, I like him.
The Tebow fans weren't nearly as toxic.
No, they weren't. They were just, they were toxic, some of them. They were like these little, you know, everything, you know, Mr. Flanders and The Simpsons. That's who they reminded me of, only they were obsessed with Tebow.
Yeah.
They were harmless for the most part.
Some of them were pretty bad.
Some of them were. But you think typically they like Tebow because they were Christian and all that stuff, so they're more likely to not spew a bunch of stuff. But
back when I thought he was going in the first round, I started watching some experts analyze his game, and there was a lot more criticism, and I'm like, oh.
Listen.
Well, these experts are criticizing him. Maybe he's not going in the first round. The fifth round kind of freaked me out. I'm like, what did he do? Did they discover him murdering people? How did he drop to the fifth round?
I don't know. Maybe holding onto the ball too long was a bigger problem than we all thought last year, and we thought maybe it was the offensive line. He got sacked 5 times. Last week. Smitty says, media and fans want drama. That's the thing. Like, I enjoy talking about this. I enjoy my blood boiling a little bit. I do. I got into sports radio for those, but not all the time. I like to have logical, fun conversations. But sometimes when Michael pisses me off, we go from 0 to 60.
Now, are you talking about Michael Penix Jr.?
I like to talk about the stories, whether it's sports exactly or just the weird stuff surrounding these athletes. But you guys typically take it to a different level when we talk about Coach Prime or Shedeur Sanders. So when Smitty says GMs and coaches do not want the same drama that media and fans want, correct, which is why, for the life of me, I don't understand why Cleveland would draft Shedeur Sanders and put themselves in this position. Eastside Chris says Shedeur has more negative yards than positive. Is that true? He only had 14 yards passing last week.
Good Lord.
It was pretty rough, and he was sacked 5 times. Texter from the 970, Kevin Stefanski has been coach of the year twice in his 5 years with the Browns. He's a good coach. He is a decent coach, but last year was pretty bad. And he's, unfortunately, he is in a situation where he has to try to work for this terrible, terrible organization. And I do believe Cleveland is just awful. But I don't think Stefanski is in a position to be like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna make Shedeur Sanders learn his lesson. When was he coach of the year? I don't remember him being. He was twice coach of the year, twice of his 5 years. I mean, he was 11-5 in 2020. He was 8-9 in 2021. He was 7-10 in 2022. He was 11-6 in 2023, and then 3-14. Excuse me, last year. So he's not a great coach, but he has dealt with a lot of garbage from Cleveland and made something out of it. He had 2 seasons of 11 wins, but the others, three of his 5 seasons were below 500. So he's not an amazing coach, but he's not bad.
I have some breaking news that I did not make up here. Looks like the Cleveland Browns have signed a contract with Paramount Plus to make a Real House Husbands of the NFL, and that's going to be starring Shedeur Sanders.
Is this a fake thing you're saying?
That's a fake thing.
I tuned it out because as soon as you started, you said it's fake. Stefanski won the AP NFL Coach of the Year twice, 2020, 2023. Okay, so, but typically the coaches that you don't expect to be good that are good win those awards a lot of times, right? Andy Reid's not winning a lot of those.
No, because you expect the refs to help the Chiefs every year.
But I'll say it, like, is Stefanski a top coach, top tier? No, he's middle. He's a middle tier coach right now, but he's also been given the crappy resources that the Browns give him.
Oh, so maybe he is a top tier coach.
Maybe. Again, I'd be curious to see him go somewhere else.
Put him on
but
a real franchise.
Guys, he's not trying to sabotage his own career just so he can win some kind. Let's say he hates Coach Prime, which I have no evidence, nothing of like that has ever occurred, and he wants to get back at him. So I'm going to draft his son, and I'm going to embarrass him. That is so. Like, that's not even television show Friday Night Lights movie type stuff, man. Because if this goes to hell in a handbasket, then he is at fault for, if Shador's good, why didn't you see it? If he's bad, why did you see it? It's ridiculous, man. So crazy time. So that's our Colorado whiskey poll question of the day. A lot of votes on that one. But I wanted to bring Michael in and talk a little bit about Purple Rain, Prince, the connection with Washington. Terrible song. Terrible. I'm not into that song.
No, Prince is not nearly my favorite artist. Like, not even in the top 1,000.
He's not even in a favorite list for me. Like, yeah. I'm not a Prince guy.
Yeah, not a fan.
That's fine. Be
like
yourself. I'm just saying. I just wanted to you know, we're in game week here. It's time to ruffle some feathers.
You said be yourself. Isn't that Audio Slave?
Yeah, it's actually one of my least favorite Audio Slave
it's,
songs.
It's my favorite Audio Slave.
Really? It's actually, yeah. I think it's a terrible song.
Be yourself.
No, it's just, I don't.
Did I ruin it? I'm sorry.
No, it was already ruined. Chris Cornell is the greatest lyricist of all time, but unfortunately, that was a terrible song.
You don't want
Weld County
to be Swami. Themselves?
Weld County, no, I want you to just be a better version of yourself. What is the prep I give you before this show every day? Pretend you're not you.
Thank you.
And be somebody else that's good at their job. Every day, what happens? You get a little, like,
worse.
Barely, tiny, like, but you can't even really see it, but you get a little bit better. And I think it's working.
I'm circling the drain.
I think it's working.
I'm circling the drain. The only reason why I'm not going down the drain is clogged.
Yeah.
There have been so many people before
so many failures.
That are like, they've clogged up the drain, so I'm like,
can't
I'm not
get any
going
worse.
Down the drain, because
yep.
like, it's clogged, but slowly I'm
yeah.
getting there, and hopefully there's not a maintenance guy who's going to go down there and like pour some
yep.
liquid,
okay.
whatever it's called.
Now we're gone. Now you're gone.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny Swami, the fact that he's had any success in Cleveland, I think he is a great coach. I don't say I can't say you're a great coach. I can't say Stefanski is a great coach.
He's an undetermined coach.
He has found ways to win 2 out of 5 years with Cleveland. That's not, it's a good coach, not a great coach. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift engaged. Brady, talk about that. Is that breaking news? Is that breaking news? Eastside Chris, you two are an odd couple. Micah, the voice of reason. Brady, the voice. Michael's the voice of reason? How many games are the Broncos going to win this year?
Oh, they're going to win 17 plus all the playoff games.
Yeah, there you go. There's your voice of reason right there. Michael is not the voice of reason. I am not happy with that, Eastside Chris. Michael is nobody in my history of my life has ever said that. Is that true about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift getting engaged? All right, who cares? 27 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Time was drifting. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
All right. I haven't done a lot of Nuggets stuff recently, but you do have a couple of things. This is according to Athlon Sports. The Nuggets are showing interest in Anthony Simons. I keep seeing this one. But I just don't know. I mean, you got the Sixers and the Nuggets have reportedly expressed interest in trading for Simons. But what would Denver have to give up for him? And I don't think so. I mean, is what Athlon Sports, I like some of their stuff. I don't know if they're always 100%, but sometimes they are. I don't like this mock draft. I guess you don't have to be 100%. But don't you dare. Aaron Gordon and Peyton Watson. Now, Peyton Watson, okay, in draft capital, fine. Yeah, but that ain't happening. Aaron Gordon? Absolutely not. Zero interest. And I think Anfer Simons is a good player. I mean, adding Simons to their backcourt alongside Jamal Murray would give them would make that pretty ridiculous. But what does that do for, you know, Christian Brown and, you know, his situation, who hasn't signed a contract yet? That one is a no-go for me. I do think that he is a good player, but not, I mean, I think the Nuggets made a lot of big-time moves. You don't want to get to the point now, because you don't want to break up Aaron Gordon. I just would not, I would not be into it. I'm out. So Simons has been in the league for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years. Now he's with the Celtics. He was last year was a 19 point per game guy. The year before that, 22 points per game. I mean, all solid numbers. Are we 100% sure that Christian Brown can't get to those kind of numbers? And I mean, the guy has a body transformation. We'll see if that really helps him out. But I'm pretty high on Christian Brown. And I like all the stuff I'm seeing in the offseason. The more serious Christian Brown, the shaved head, the bearded guy. He looks a little bit more bulky. We'll see how that affects his game. But I'm more into that. So at this stage, I look at the Nuggets and I go, I didn't expect them to actually be able to trade Michael Porter Jr. So the fact that they were able to get Brucey Bruce back into the fold, Bruce Brown, the fact that they were able to get, Tim Hardaway Jr., And then you traded away Michael Porter Jr., which was that by itself was a big deal, to get Cam Johnson is huge. A great offseason for this team. Oh yeah, and Valanciunas as well. Very big deal. So I'm good at this stage. Let's let Christian Brown cook a little bit. But the idea of Jamal Murray, Christian Brown, Cam Johnson, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic at the start, and then I don't know who your backup point guard is, how you're working that out, if it's Pickett, if Bruce Brown does come play a little point guard, whatever, at the shooting guard position, now you have options. You have Tim Hardaway Jr., you have Julian Strother, you have Bruce Brown. At the small forward position, it's Cam Johnson. You could also throw Bruce Brown in there at the small forward. He can play all over the floor. A lot of options there. Peyton Watson, power forward, Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson, and then Joker and Jonas Valanciunas. I'm good. I like this roster. I think it's going to be right up there in a very, very tough Western Conference, but I think the Nuggets are going to be right in the mix. 37 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-two minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. It is game week. We're going to be catching up with a good friend of mine. He's one of the more interesting interviews to navigate through because you never know what kind of Mike Brohard you're going to get, and he'll be joining me in the second hour of the show. Mike Brohard, of course, is with Colorado State, and he is he's a good dude. He's taught me a lot in this industry, but he can be feisty. He's with CSURams.com and Rams Wire Insider. They call him the keyboard of the Rams, if you're new to the show. So Mike's a great guy to know. He knows a lot of these great stories surrounding these players. I'm just going to be kind of curious to get his thoughts on the upcoming match, the upcoming game between Colorado State and the Washington Huskies. It's upon us, Mike. We're right there. We're so close to it. Week one, Thursday night, we got the Wyoming Cowboys and Akron going at it. Cody Tucker typically joins me on Tuesday. He can't be here today, but he'll join me on Thursday, and that is a huge game. The whole thing starts off in a big way. So picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Unfortunately, I have to give a pick early on Thursday, and then I have to give a pick on Friday before the Buffs take on Georgia Tech. You have my picks music, right, Mike? You have all that stuff ready to go? You got Football Friday ready to go? Starting at 1 o'clock every day, where we go all things football. I know I'm excited. I can tell by the look on your face. You're ready. You've got something prepped. I'm really thrilled. And then the picks music, of course, you probably have it loaded there. I can't wait. We're going to get right back into it. And I'm fully confident that Michael is going to put some of the best production value that we've ever witnessed into this show. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be good. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So that'll be fun to get to. Talking about Washington and this, Coach Norvell was very complimentary of their running back. Jonah Coleman according to even Jay Norvell, he's probably the best player on this team. But the question I have, because Mike, their offensive line was pretty bad last year, wasn't it? Wasn't Washington's offensive line kind of rough? Not great. They got a lot of dudes in the transfer portal. So they got considered one of the best tackles in the portal. Carver Willis came from Kansas State, and then guard Jerrine Hatchett, that he was returning to Washington after a year at Oklahoma. He's coming back. He'll start next to his brother Landon. And then redshirt freshman Paki Fianu and Drew Asperati round out the offensive line. So should they be better? That's a lot of new names that are going to be working together. So Jonah Coleman, so much of what he's able to do, I mean, he was certainly excellent. He ran for over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in his junior season. So he's a good player to watch out for. And then Denzel Boston is the leader of this wide receiver room. So there's certainly some good skill players there. Those are their kind of strengths there as far as players to watch. Quarterback Demon Williams Jr., Jonah Coleman at running back, Denzel Boston at wide receiver, a couple of big offensive linemen. They needed to beef up their D-line as well. Their rush defense was pretty bad last year under, was it Bill Belichick's kid, right? What's his name? Steve? What was his name? What was the former? Steve Belichick. It was Steve Belichick. Got it. You don't have to look it up. I got it. It's already done. So he's gone, and then the rushing defense was pretty bad. So they needed to get depth in the interior of that line. They added a ton of dudes in there. Will that be a work in progress, too? Will that take some time? Because last year, that was what CSU used to win a lot of football games, was running the football. Even though we were kind of thinking at some point we're going to see four air raid. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that full air raid thing like Colorado State promised at the beginning of the season in Jay Norvell's first season. It was a lot, and it was hype. It was pump up. It was all that, and it was cool, and I loved it. It was unlike anything we'd ever seen from a Colorado State coaching staff, Jim McElwain included, Bobo included. These guys were promoting themselves. They were self-promoting, and all that was exciting. And 3 years later, you've got your a ground and pound football team. I mean, it's been three years for Jay Norvell already, and we haven't seen the air raid take off yet. So if it is more of a rushing attack and Washington is still trying to figure it out, maybe that bodes well for Colorado State. Yes, Michael.
Well, I think this is going to be good for Washington to prove.
Yeah, never mind. Fourth year. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I think this is going to be good for Washington to prove, okay, that our defense is better than what it was last year. We've got some new players. We're playing a team that is trying to run the ball a little more.
Well, last year, maybe they are going to be more 60-40 this year. I don't know.
Well, hopefully. I would actually like to see the Rams be more balanced. I would like to see them do that air raid offense that was promised at the very beginning. Like, everybody was excited about, we're going back to wide receiver U, and it didn't pan out. I would like to see wide receiver U come back to
Well, it's Fort funny Collins. That it didn't go there. Because Jay Norvell literally wrote a book on wide receivers. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, and they've gone, they had Torrey Horton.
He should write a book on pivoting.
But outside of Torrey Horton, Mike, I don't think that Jay Norvell has had a special wide receiver. He had a special tight end, but not necessarily a special wide receiver outside of Torrey Horton. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
So now it's up to BFN to help, hopefully for them. I'm just going to say hopefully kick off wide receiver U part two again.
Yeah. This is Brady. Yesterday I caught the rebroadcast of the show. You and Michael, I like how people are starting to call you Michael now. We're talking about Tarleton. And Aiden Moe, offensive lineman, transferred down there from the Bears, from SP. Cool. Cool.
Well, he downgraded then.
You think Tarleton is lesser
than... It's a downgrade. I'm going to play Homer on this one. UNC is great, and they're going to win. I'm going to put some...
Go on.
Well, they used to be purple, but... let's say gold.
Tarleton has the same colors as Washington, almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice.
Purple. Look at that.
Nice.
It's kind of neat.
Well, I'm gonna go with the blue and gold and put on the blue and gold glasses here.
The Bears are winning this weekend, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
The Bears are gonna beat them, and they're gonna beat them badly. It's gonna be destruction.
Nice assessment. 49 minutes after the hour, we're gonna take a short break here. But before we do that, Mosquito Joe, they were the number one Mosquito Joe franchise this year, the one right here in Northern Colorado. So talk to them. They do a lot more than rodenticide and rodent service and all that stuff. They've got other things coming up throughout the fall months, too. But I don't know if we're out of the woods yet to keep those bugs best off our patios. Still summertime. It's not officially fall just yet, even though it certainly feels like it. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins? Good morning, NOCO is on it. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You know what else is back besides the Wolfpack? High school football. Coming up on Friday night. The A1 Organics game of the week. We've got Berthoud at Thompson Valley. Kyle Johnson, Coach Bruce Dick on the call. We got a new intern that's going to be in studio, Conlon. Conlon's brother played. It's funny you've mentioned that, but Aiden Moe, Conlon Moe, like, there's a connection there. Brothers. Conlon's going to be doing some stuff in studio for us, Mike. Score updates, halftime show, things like that. So we're ready, man. It's going to be a great, great game coming up. So 6:30 pregame begins, and then 7 o'clock kickoff between Berthoud and Thompson Valley. Find the games, 103.1, 1310, or 1310kfk.com. You can listen anywhere. So excited about that. Pumped. Ready to go. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So I was out at CSU yesterday. It's so funny. I love the communications team. They've been amazing over the years. And I know I've been bragging about UNC's a lot. UNC's was interesting over the years. They picked up their game. CSU, I've always had great, great conversations with. Always great working with those people. They're awesome. But it's just funny. Every time we go to practice, it's always like, Brady, you didn't send us who you want to interview. Who do you want to interview today? And I'm like, because if you want to interview people, you got to go to practice, be there at 8:40. And then you can only stay for the open period, which ends at 9:40. And then you go sit away in the cubicles or whatever, wherever they store you, until practice is over at 11. And this has been the tale as old as time. Every year for me, I can only go to the morning portion of practice, and then I got to get back here for prep and everything for the show at 11. So, Brady, you didn't send who you're interviewing. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm just here to participate a little bit in practice. I'm not interviewing anybody. But I believe on Thursday, we will have the head coach of the Colorado State Rams, Jay Norvell, join us. Funny they agreed to do it Thursday when they know we're probably going to be talking some Wyoming and Akron. That's a CSU move right there. That's a bold move. Slick. Well done. Way to steal the show. Top stories of the day. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.